Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Monday, December the 10th, 2018. You're tuned into the Now program, hour number two. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. Do want to remind you, coming up on the program tomorrow at 1:10, we're going to be joined by the Sheriff of the City of Marion, County of Marion, Sheriff Tim Bailey, who's going to discuss a great new tip that is going to be used by all the school districts in Marion, Ohio, to report things to the sheriff's office anonymously. So you're going to want to be here for that tomorrow. Sheriff Tim Bailey, 1:10 to 2 p.m. And of course, we want to thank Pat Koch, the head elf in Santa Claus, Indiana, for being on an hour number one. And remember, if you want to get those letters out to Santa, you still have time. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Now this hour we're joined by a very special person here in Central Ohio. He is the Director Emeritus of the Columbus Zoo. We give away Zoo Light tickets all December long. What a great event that is. And he has just celebrated 40 years with the Columbus Zoo. Can you imagine that? What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones Jungle Jack Hanna. Jack, how are you?
Hello?
Yes, how are you doing, Jack?
Oh, it's pretty good, yep. Just taking care of the animals.
Now, 40 years with the zoo, Jack. Has it gone by fast?
Yeah, it's amazing. You're right, 40 years. And it's hard to believe it's been 40 years, but it's gone by fast. Yes, it has. But, you know, with me, though, loving every minute of it, you know, it's been just been very blessed to be able to come to Columbus, Ohio and to be the director of the zoo in 1978, and of course our daughter Julie had cancer and leukemia, and so that's why St. Jude Hospital told us to go to Columbus and gave me the other two cities to choose from, and I chose Columbus. Imagine that, get here, and all of a sudden I have the opportunity to be director of the zoo. So Columbus has been so good to our family, it's unbelievable.
Mm. Now, Director Emeritus, what does that title mean? What exactly is your job at this point?
Well, I'm at the zoo just like I was now CEO and director of the zoo. It just means that right then I was doing the – I started this because the TV series When Good Morning America came to cover our twin gorillas in 1982, the first zoo in the country that had twin gorillas, and that went on the news all over the country. And Good Morning America had me, and then all of a sudden Good Morning America wanted me to come back at least twice a month, and then that led to David Letterman. They called, and can you do our show too? And then all of a sudden the TV series started, so there's no way that I could – continue to run a zoo this size. It's one of the largest zoos in North America. So we got Tom Stoff, the guy I knew for many years from Illinois, had a zoo up there, and he's in, you know, the CEO of the zoo right now. So that's how the whole thing worked.
Mm, that is great. Now, what is your favorite part in 2018 of the Columbus Zoo?
The favorite what now?
Your favorite part. What do you like dealing with the best at the zoo?
Well, at the zoo, you know, right now, basically, I'm constantly doing either, you know, Good Morning America, late show with a guy out in California, and then I do a lot of stuff, you know, interviews all the time on radios around the country, and then I do speeches around the United States as well, a lot of charities I do as well around the United States, and talk about the zoo. For example, I just filmed for my TV series, and when it's on national TV on ABC, every weekend. We just got through filming the release of the manatee. Columbus Zoo is one of the few zoos in the country that when the manatee is an animal, who's ever listening right now, is an animal from Florida. It's hard to say what it looks like. Big old thing. And the manatee was hit, but the mother was hit in Florida by a boat, didn't mean to, and lost her life. And then they always send the young ones here, or injured ones, to our zoo here for that last 20-something years. We're one of the few in the country that takes the manatee. We have a manatee habitat over in the aquarium. We get them back going like these twin manatee we just got through releasing, which I filmed on a national TV show 3 weeks ago in southern Florida. And the little babies were, the mother was lost her life, boat hit it, and the little twins were behind her manatee, and they flew them up here, and we had them for almost a year. And then we just released them back in the wild where they came from. We just did that and filmed that on my national show later here this spring.
That's tremendous. Jack, where did your love of animals come from?
Well, the whole thing started, obviously, I was from outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. We lived on a farm. I was born out there. And on that farm, obviously, we had cattle, you know, goats, hogs, horses, everything like that. And then at that point, when I was only 11 years old, I went to work for the, we had a veterinarian that would come out and take care of our animals. And then he asked me, asked him if I could come to his Knoxville Animal Clinic if I could clean cages. He said, "You want to clean cages at the age of 11, 12 years old?" Yeah. And that's how I started, clean cages, the vet thing. And then he took me to the Knoxville Zoo and treated the animals. And once I saw that when I was about 14 or 15 years old, I said, "I'm going to be a zookeeper someday." And everybody made fun of me, which didn't bother me. They made fun of me in high school. They made fun of me even in college. And even the president of the college called me in his office right before graduation and said, "Jack, why in the world would you want to work in a place to clean up animal stuff, pick up all the poop and all that stuff? No, I don't care what I want to do. That's my dream since a little boy. I'm going to become a zookeeper." And sure enough, you know, I always lived up to it and became a zookeeper in Knoxville Zoo, and then went to college and all that stuff, and then served in the military for a while. And then I came, then all of a sudden, Julie, our daughter, which some people know, got leukemia at St. Jude. 12 of our kids on her floor, only she and another little boy survived. At that point, they said I could, they gave me about, you know, California, New York, all kinds of places to go. And they also said Columbus, Ohio. So we came to this beautiful city and brought Julie here, which the Nationwide Children's Hospital is basically has saved my daughter's life several times. Due to some brain things. So anyway, she's doing great now. She works at the zoo, and now I've been very blessed to work at the zoo myself. So, you know, I can't thank Columbus, Ohio enough to live my dream of being a zookeeper and also having my daughter today. So I've been very, very, very fortunate.
Now, as you said, Jack, you were on Good Morning America on David Letterman for many, many years, have your own television show. What do you think it was about you that translated so well to television?
That's a great thing. Even Larry King and a bunch of others, too. You know, Hollywood Squares, we did everything. I have no idea. You know, I never saw TV, ever. I just, you know, the main national one, I did Channel 10 here, CBS here, you know, quite a bit after I first got here. And they would come to the zoo and do things as well. I did NBC, ABC, CBS. I just did shows. And then I had a little show on CBS. And then somebody just, I don't know who it was, just called me up and said, "Hey, I don't know where they saw me. This guy was from, I don't know, Connecticut or something." And so I just did a few little shows there, and then that led to Jack Hanna's In the Wild, which is one on every weekend on TV. And then I think Wild Countdown, Jack Hanna's Wild Countdown, that takes the ones that I've done with Jack Hanna's Animal Adventures. I did over 300 shows there. And then Jack Hanna's Into the Wild, which I've done, I don't know how many shows on that one, more than 300. So I did those two shows, and now they combine those shows and do Jack Hanna's Wild Countdown on the weekends, and then Jack Hanna's Into the Wild is a new one. We just got through filming in Florida, the manatee, and then we just got back from Rwanda and Africa filming for that one, too. So I don't know how the whole thing started. Are you kidding me? I mean, the Twin Gorillas is what led to me getting on TV, I guess, because the Columbus Zoo was one of the first zoos in the world to have twin gorillas survive in their zoo. That was 1982. That's when Good Morning America came and covered it right away. A lot of other people did, and then all of a sudden, that kind of led into the TV series I've been doing for years.
You know, the Columbus Zoo now is so well known all over the world. What is special about the Columbus Zoo?
Well, the special thing is not for the viewers of other places. I'll tell you this: the people of Columbus, Ohio, and even surrounding communities. Love their zoo, and that's what did the zoo. Jack Hanna was just fortunate to be here to help, you know, be the head of the zoo back then. It wasn't necessarily me that brought this thing, you know, on TV or anything. I was just very lucky to work up here, and people came up here and covered it, and then the Twin Gorillas were born. Like I said, that went on Good Morning America. At that point, the Letterman Show called up about a month after that, said, "Hey, can you do our show too?" Yeah, and then Larry King, I did that show for about a couple of years, and then Hollywood Squares I did for several shows, and then James Corden does a Late Late Show. I've been doing his shows now about 3 to 6 times a year. That's a Late Late Show. Good Letterman retired, and we did over 100 and something shows on that one. And Good Morning America, I think I do. I was always doing it. It kind of changed. It didn't change hands. It's just a lot of the people, Charlie Gibson, Diane Sawyer, all those, we were all like a family. Of course, they left, and then I kind of left, and then I think I'm doing Good Morning America in about a week from Monday or something. So we did Good Morning America almost 30 years. David Letterman, we did 31 years. David Letterman, we did 100-something shows. And, you know, I don't know what it is about why I'm asked to do TV. You know, David Letterman on the last show, he looks at me and he goes, "Hey, Jack, you know what you are?" "I don't know. What's that?" "You're nothing but a walking encyclopedia of misinformation." So everybody laughed. And I said, "Dave, you know something? You know, you're not the smartest person in the world because you thought that the baby hippo I had on the show was a pig, you idiot," or something like that, you know. So it's just been, you know, I don't know. We just, like David Letterman, he was, as I said, if I had to pay about the number of times he mentioned the Columbus Zoo on that show for 30 years, it would have cost the zoo well over $1 million in advertising. And yet that's what David Letterman really did, a great deal for making our zoo national, then nationwide it's known, and then throughout the world some people know about it because of Good Morning America and David Letterman in those minor shows I did. But the point is that those two were ones I did for like 20, 30 years.
You know,
and so it was something.
Yeah, you know, Jack, when the last time you were on David Letterman, I remember that, it seemed a little emotional for you.
Yeah, you know something, you did see it. And you know something? It wasn't necessarily, you know, Dave came up and he said, well, the producer said, "Jack, he's very rarely done that." He came up, hugged me, and said, "Jack, you know, I never talked to him once before or after the show, not one time, ever. That's just how he operates the show." And on that last show, the producer said, "Jack, I've never seen him hardly hug anybody. He came up to you and said, 'Jack, I don't know how to thank you.'" He said, and I don't go by ratings, by the way. I don't ever go on a show because of good ratings. I just don't do that. I do. Anybody wants to talk about me, I don't care if anybody watches it or hears it on radio. I'll be happy to do the interviews. So it just so happens that when I did go on Letterman, they told me this, by the way, and I'm not just doing this to be on the radio. They told me that the what do you call it when you get, you know, all the people watching it? What do you call that on TV? I forgot.
The ratings go up?
The ratings, exactly, ratings. It shot up in the air like crazy, they said, when I did the Letterman show with my animals. So, and so that, you know, I didn't do it for that reason. I just did it because I knew that we had a different audience that way. And now when I'm signing autographs, like I did on 500 over the weekend, I mean, we had like 20-something thousand people this Saturday night. And, you know, it's one of those things that you go on those shows, and as long as I can mention the zoo, you know, that's how the whole thing works.
Now, right now,
that's how I get on these shows. I don't do these shows for, yes, I have a TV series, yes, and that's income. But the thing about what I do this for the Columbus Zoo, and there's no money involved in most of the TV shows I do.
Oh, but you know what? What's important, Jack? Right now, the wild lights are going on at the Columbus Zoo. For somebody who hasn't been to that, describe to them what they would see if they went down there before Christmas.
Well, I can tell you one thing, and I just saw them. I've just been filming in the south and southern United States, been filming and stuff, and I came home last week, and whenever the lights come up at the zoo, which has been, gosh, almost a month now, I guess, it makes Christmas right off the bat. The minute you walk in there, the lights this year are absolutely phenomenal. I'll use the word phenomenal. And I don't, you know, it's the whole light. Remember, back in the old days, 78, 9, 80s, whatever, the zoo was closed most of December. And then, you know, you can see why. I mean, the zoo only had a few buildings. But then once we started the whole city, the county, everybody got jumped in and started building the zoo like crazy, and the donors. And then I said to myself, I'm going to put a little tree up out here or something, put a light on it, put some lights on it. And people liked it. And all of a sudden, American Electric Power came in, and you should see. My gosh, you would not believe that, the lights this year. It's absolutely, it's just, when you walk in there, you're going to say, good night. Around that beautiful lake there, you'll see, I don't know how many trees. I can't even count them. It could be 20, 30, 40, 50 of them. Have Christmas lights, and they have music. The lights go on and off. You should see it, how they've done this with computers. It's absolutely, I just can't. I sit there. I know it's cold, but right when you walk in the zoo and see the lake, you won't believe it. And then when you go ahead and walk the rest of the zoo, you won't believe that either. And you have buildings going to warm up too, by the way, the aquarium, reptile house, things like that. But it is amazing this year. The light show is absolutely unbelievable. And I don't know how they do all this work and get these lights up. I really don't. It's beyond belief how many, I don't know how many hundred trees. I don't know how many trees. I wouldn't even know. I couldn't even count them. And it is mind-boggling to bring your family up here and see it. And by the way, those listening, when you come up here, the best time to do it is try to get here during a little bit of light, especially this time of year, you know, like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and then it starts getting dark. What you could find, obviously, if you start coming in at 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, 8, obviously, cars are pouring in. But if it was me, you know, I would come up and, it's a little bit of daylight, just a little bit left, and get in here and park your car, and then it turns, and then, by the way, that time you're leaving when some people are just starting to come in. So it's really been a spectacular thing.
Absolutely. Jack, in the 40-year history, do you have a favorite memory that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, man. I would say, yes, when the twin girls were born. That was something that I didn't realize, one of the first ones in the country ever that survived, by the way, is the twin gorillas. That was something I'll never forget. Yeah, and I never figured it would take it, you know, to national TV, the twin gorillas. We were already on TV a little bit, yes, but the twin gorillas just, you know, sealed the thing. And that's what the zoo still does. I mean, now we have a TV series on Nat Geo every Sunday night, too, as well. Not just, you know, some of the other stuff I do. The zoo has its own thing about where they go around the zoo behind the scenes, the wilds, they talk. So they have, every Sunday night, I can't remember what time it's on Nat Geo. And that's another series we have. Plus, you have Jack Hanna's Into the Wild on national TV. You have Jack Hanna's Wild Countdown on TV. So the exposure of the zoo nationally is unbelievable.
That's tremendous. Jack, do you ever see a time when you would want to retire from this type of work?
Well, you know, I have till 2020, but, yeah, you know, that's what I told them back then. And, I mean, a long time ago, because that was 20 years ago when I talked to them about it. But, you know, the zoo is my life, basically. Obviously, my family comes first, but the zoo is is something that is just like I've just been so blessed to live a dream. And the Columbus Zoo now is one of the largest in the country, probably, if not the largest. And we didn't mean to be the largest, by the way. But, you know, the people of the land we have around here and the new African belt we built years ago, and you can go on and on with you. And the amount of, by the way, the amount of money we raise, by the way, it's not the taxation. It's not the people donate money to the zoo for different conservation programs around the world. And right now, Columbus Zoo is one of the largest givers to animals in the wild anywhere in the United States. Because everybody says, what about the wild animals? Well, millions of dollars from the Columbus Zoo have gone into the wild to save some of these animals, trust me. Because I've been to whenever we support something in Africa or South America or the North Pole, South Pole, wherever it might be, I'm very lucky to have filmed, and I visit those that we're making sure that every single penny goes to those animals. And also helping people. You just cannot help an animal without helping people who live with them. And that's one thing that I started way back when, 20-something years ago, 30 maybe, who knows, when I go to these countries, and yes, I was, you know, you have to talk to people first. You know, you can't save animals, you can't help people. And that's what we, you know, I learned that. Some people don't understand that. Well, let's just go into so-and-so Africa and help them with animals. Well, if you try and do that and you see people starving, that's not too bright, is it? So the Columbus Zoo has literally saved not just animal lives, they have saved human being lives. And I've witnessed it. I witnessed it myself. And I won't get into some of the stories because they're emotional. And sure enough, so far, every one of my people that I've discovered over there and met, and some of them I didn't meet because they're young people with people that live in huts and stuff, and the zoo, the Columbus Zoo, has saved many thousands of animals and several people as well.
Mm. It's tremendous work. Jack, before I let you go, final question. How would you like to be remembered when you finally do hang it up at the zoo?
I think the main thing about me is I do not use the word celebrity. I don't like it used. I will not put it in any kind of things when people call me from all over the country and other parts of the world and TV series. I do not be introduced as a celebrity. I'm an animal ambassador, and that's what I call myself because I am who I am. And I'm saying that because many times I hear people say, Jack, you know, you are who you are, aren't you? I say, yeah, who am I supposed to be? Because some people, you know, I'm not saying everybody, they'll get on TV and try and be something, you know, and I will not use the word celebrity or hero or anything like that. I'm just Jack Hanna, same old Jack Hanna I was on our farm in Tennessee. TV is just something that I think the reason it worked is because, you know, I don't get nervous with cameras, and I don't, by any means, not the genius by any means, to be on TV. I just who I am. And I try and yes, I don't try necessarily to be funny all the time. It's just, you know, sometimes, you know, I just say things, I guess they're funny. You know, I try and when I did the late shows, I just must tell you this. Now people are coming to me, I'm signing autographs all over the country. They say, Jack, boy, you know something? We really enjoyed watching your show on David Letterman when I was a senior at this college. You know, Jack, we really loved your show when we just stayed up late and watched late TV. It's just hearing those kind of things from people. This was, you know, starting 20, 30, I'm sorry, 20-something years ago, whatever. with the late shows and Good Morning America, it just makes me feel good when someone, a lot of them come up to me and go, boy, Jack, we sure wish you'd been on Letterman. We wish we hadn't retired. And, man, we learned about Blot, that Bengal tiger. We learned about that warthog. We learned about that those beautiful lions. In other words, it's amazing. That, to me, is, makes everything in the world to me when somebody comes up to me and saw me 20, 30 years ago and remembers it. And when I'm doing autographs around the country, they come up and tell me, and I remember some of it. And that to me, is the biggest thank you I could ever get.
Well, Jack, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I can't wait to have you on again. Director Emeritus of the Columbus Zoo, 40 years. You have been a tremendous ambassador. Thank you, Jack.
No, thank you, because guess what? In December 20th, in a few days, I've been married 50 years.
Ah, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, this is the first time on TV or radio I ever said it. So I'm taking my wife to a special place starting on Saturday, Sunday. We're going to celebrate 50 years of marriage, and she's just been much as modest. She's been just as much as making me who I am than anybody else. I mean, you can imagine living with Jack Hanna when I bought camels in the kitchen. Are you kidding me? Full-grown camels. I even brought home chimpanzees. Golly, day. She never said no, you know. She only said no one time. That's when this is not terrible, but I was trying to, we had a chimpanzee. We weren't eating two of them, and I just bought them home, and I couldn't bottle feed them, and I was trying, and she was breastfeeding my youngest daughter. And I looked over at her when she was breastfeeding my daughter, and she goes, "No way, Jack." So that's the only time she ever said no to me in 50 years. Yeah, I think it's the first time I've ever told this story on the radio. And I'm sorry, that's a true story.
No, that's good.
I thought it was a good idea, but she didn't go for that. That's the only time of all the animals I brought home over those years, hundreds of them, she had to say no to that one. But by the way, the chimpanzee came out all right because my bottle feeding got better.
Well, happy golden anniversary to you both.
Oh, thanks a lot. I'll tell soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Jungle Jack Hanna. Woo! There you go. He's always a lot of fun. And remember, the Columbus Zoo lights go on through January the 1st, 2019, and apparently they are something to see. Now, don't forget, you can get your letters out to Santa Claus, Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Wow, we're blowing through it today. And you don't want to forget tomorrow when we have Sheriff Bailey on, 1:10 to 2 o'clock. There's this new app here in Marion to help the kids in all the schools. They'll explain it a lot better than I will tomorrow, 1:10 to 2 p.m. Don't miss that. Now, back to our questions here, if I can find them. Jack Hanna's just, he's a lot of fun. Okay, back to the questions. Okay, nobody knows this one yet. What did the Pepsi Cola Company used to do with all their brands of soda at Halloween time? What did the Pepsi Company used to do at Halloween with all their brands of soda? 740-383-9944. Does anybody have the answer? Now, these two questions have been out there quite a while now. What percentage of people think Christmas is a cultural holiday? We have not got the percentage yet. Now, remember, cultural is Santa Claus, Rudolph, Christmas trees, that sort of thing. What percentage of people think Christmas is a cultural holiday? What percentage of people still put the hats and the scarves and the coats on and go out Christmas caroling? Does anybody know that? What percentage of people still go out and Christmas carol at the holiday time? Now, this one, we've had a lot of guesses. What is an old-time term for a joke? It's a one-word term. Now, we had knee slapper. We had shenanigans. Those are all close. Knee slapper is the closest. But it was a term that was used by a person in Central Ohio. And I, like I said, I always thought it was unique to that person. But then I heard national people say it. So I know that person did not make that up. What is that one-word term, an old-fashioned term, for a joke?
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, backslapper.
Not a backslapper. Good guess, though.
Not a backslapper, not a knee slapper, but slapper is close. Once you hear the word, you'll know what I mean. What is an old-time term for a joke? 740-383-9944. What did Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to argue about every holiday time? during the holidays on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, Doc Severinsen, and Johnny Carson used to get into arguments over... Did somebody get this question right last week? I did not mark it off, but it seems to me like somebody got this right. See, I could be losing my marbles here at the holiday time. Did somebody get that question right last week? What did Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to argue about every holiday time on The Tonight Show? Well, if somebody does get it, we'll still let it go, unless somebody can call and tell me, yeah, somebody already answered that. 740-383-9944. Okay, our new questions today, we've got one of them answered already. Okay, what is in the building, what used to be in the, maybe this is the person telling me that already has been answered, because it seems like it had.
Go ahead, caller.
For the joke, it's not Whopper or Wisecrack, is it?
Not Whopper or Wisecrack.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not Whopper or Wisecrack. It's a one-word term for a joke. It's an old-fashioned term for a joke. People don't really use it today. But once you hear it, you'll know what it is. It was really used by a person in Central Ohio, quite famously. An old-fashioned term for a joke. 740-383-9944. Now, here are our new questions today. What used to be in the building that Little Caesar's Pizza is located in now? What used to be in the building where Little Caesar's is located now? Does anybody know that? Now, oh, we have a question, and we'll go to the next question here momentarily.
Go ahead, caller.
Have we guessed slapstick?
Not slapstick, but again, that's in the right area.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Not slapstick, not knee slapper, not shenanigan, but it's close. And once we get the answer here, I'll tell you what Central Ohio person it was associated with, but it's an old-fashioned term for a joke. That's what it is, an old-fashioned term for a joke. Now, the new questions, what was located in the building where Little Caesar's is now? Does anybody know that? What was originally located in the building where Little Caesar's is now? And here's a question for all you bowling fans out there. In the 80s, the 1980s, when I'll say bowling was probably at its height in Marion, can anybody name all of the bowling lanes that were in Marion, Ohio? Can anybody name all of the bowling lanes that were in Marion, Ohio in the 1980s? 740-383-9944. Now, this next question I'm going to add, it's a new question, but it's kind of interesting in a way. When Rally's up on Main Street first opened in Marion, they had a sandwich. Very good, delicious sandwich. And they sold it for a dollar. Now, they may still sell it for a dollar, because to be honest with you, I don't get over to Rally's very often. But when they first opened, they used to sell this sandwich for a dollar. Now, does anybody know what it was? Now, I'll tell you how I know about this. When Rally's first opened up, my family was having a get-together, and we knew about these sandwiches being a dollar. And it was kind of a get-together that nobody expected to happen. Just a whole bunch of family came into town. And one of my relatives gave me, I had just started to drive, gave me a $20 bill and said, go down and get 20 of these sandwiches for all the people who are here, because they were a dollar a piece. So I drive down to Rally's. I think I have two people in the car with me. And I get to the speaker, and I say, I want 20 of these sandwiches. And the guy, I'll never forget this, the guy who was working the drive-thru window says, you want 20, blah, 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 you know, the sandwich name. You want 20? And I said, yeah, I need 20 of them. Well, he was overcome. But does anybody remember what that sandwich was? That's how I remember it. And it might still be that price, because like I say, I don't get over to Rally's very often. But does anybody remember when Rally's first came to town, what this dollar sandwich was that was very delicious. 740-383-9944. And then I'll throw one more new question out there. Does anybody know the name of the helicopter that used to bring Santa Claus to the Marion Mall each year? Does anybody know the name of the helicopter that used to bring Santa Claus to the Marion Mall? So there you go. Does anybody know the helicopter that brought Santa to the mall? Does anybody know the popular $1 sandwich that was sold at rallies when they first opened? Can anybody name the bowling alleys that were opened in Marion in the 1980s? Can anybody tell me what was in the building that now houses Little Caesars, before Little Caesars? What did Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to get into a fight every year on The Tonight Show at holiday time about? What did they get into an argument about? What is an old term for a joke? It's a one-word term. What percentage of people in 2018 still get out in Christmas Carol? What percentage of people in 2018 think Christmas is a cultural holiday? Or what did the Pepsi-Cola company used to do at Halloween time every year? They don't do it anymore, but they used to do it with all their brands of soda. Mountain Dew, Diet Pepsi, Dr. Pepper. What did the Pepsi-Cola company used to do at Halloween? 740-383-9944. And like I say, we've got apple slices from McDonald's. We have got ice cream cones from McDonald's. We've got milk jugs from McDonald's. And we still have a pair of tickets to Jack Hanna's Wild Lights at the Columbus Zoo, which is good, by the way, through January the 1st. The Wild Lights do not close at Christmas. They're on through December the 1st. So remember that. Does anybody know the answers to any of those questions? 740-383-9944. Now, don't forget, our Christmas Olympics is coming up this Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. over at Grant Middle School. $5 donation to enter any of the competitions. We have the fruitcake toss, we have the Christmas cookie baking contest, and we have the eggnog ping pong contest. Now, nobody has entered eggnog ping pong or the Christmas cookie baking contest, so those could be eliminated if we don't get any entries by Wednesday. Wednesday is the last day to enter, $5 to enter. Now, here are the people who are entered in the fruitcake toss. We've got Jack Johnson of Al's Country Market, entered by Judy Summers. Melinda Johnson of Affinity Insurance, entered by Judy Summers, and I was entered by Ralph Thacker in the fruitcake toss. Now, here's the deal on the fruitcake. Now, last Wednesday, I believe it was, a gentleman named Jerry Harris called in and said he would pledge $20 if I would eat a whole fruitcake. And on Friday, I said, well, I don't know if I want to eat a whole fruitcake for $20. Well, he called back in and said he would up it to 40 and he would match any bids that came in beyond that. Well, right after Jerry took it up to 40, we got another $20 donation from Ed Atkins, and then we got another $5 donation from Bob Austin for me to eat this fruitcake. Now, I have not heard from Jerry. He has not paid his money. You got to pay your money by Wednesday, by 2 o'clock on Wednesday. But right now, we're up to $65. Now, if Jerry is matching Ed and Bob's donation, he would be up to, what would he be up to? He'd be up to $80. And, no, what would he be? 65. He'd be up to 65, then 20 for Ed, and then 5 for Bob, which would mean we would be at $90. But here's the deal. We got to get to 100. If we get to 100, I'll eat the fruitcake. And Charlie can watch me eat the fruitcake. I'll eat the whole fruitcake. Against my better judgment, I'll do it. But the money's got to be in by Wednesday. Now, maybe somebody else can pledge the money. We are $35 away from getting to $100 at this point. Unless Jerry is going to match the totals. I don't know. But that's the deal. So anybody who wants to pledge, 740-383-9944, you've got till Wednesday. You can call in live on the air, or you can leave it on the answering machine. Just say what event you want to pledge the money to, who you are, and so on and so forth. And away we go.
Go ahead, caller.
Jerry Harris here.
Hey, Jerry, how are you?
All right. What I said was I would donate $20, and I call back, and then said somebody would donate another $20. I would match that, so that's $40 that I'm committed to at this point.
Got it.
So that's what I'm willing to put up. Now, if you can get it up to $100, not counting what I bought. All right, now I'm committed to $40. Okay, if you can get the other donations the total to $100, I'll kick another $20.
All right. Well, hey, Jerry, I thank you.
All right.
All right. There's the deal. Jerry will kick in another $20 if we get to $100. Now, right now we are at $65. So we will need $35 to get to $100. And then if we get to $100, we'll be at $120 because Jerry will kick in another $20. Now remember, all the money's got to be in by Wednesday. That's the deal. So you've still got 3 days. So is anybody going to up their donation, or is anybody else going to jump in to get this thing to $100? Because if we get to $100, I'll do it. And I'll especially do it due to the kindness there of Jerry Harris, because now it would be $120. So now we've got something to shoot for. So we're at 65. If we get to 100, I'll eat the fruitcake. We're $35 short at this point. And if we get to 100, Jerry will do another 20. So we'll be up to $120. So that's the deal. 740-383-9944. And like I say, if you don't want to call in right now, you can call in and leave that message on the answering machine. Say you'll do it. And as long as you get here by Wednesday at 2 o'clock, to pay your money, everything will be fine, and I will eat a fruitcake on Thursday night. That is the deal. Against my better judgment, I'll eat the fruitcake. Okay. Also, don't forget, coming up this Friday, December 14th, from 5:10 to 6 p.m., it's the 10 most interesting people of 2018. All interviews with all of these people. This special will repeat 10:10 to 11 p.m. on Friday as well. Now, here are the 9 most interesting people. You got to listen Friday to find out who the 10th most interesting person is. We've got Tom Janot, the writer who interviewed Mr. Rogers, whom the Tom Hanks movie about Mr. Rogers is being based on. Mayor Scott Schertzer, who is running for a fourth term for mayor in 2019. Mike DeWine, soon to be sworn in as the 70th governor of Ohio. Roger Stone, friend of President Trump for 40 years. Mary Taylor, current lieutenant governor who ran for governor in 2018. Jim Blessing, grandson of President Warren G. Harding. Jim Jordan, Ohio representative who ran and won re-election in 2018. Dennis Kucinich, former Ohio representative who re-entered the political arena in 2018 to run in the Democratic primary for governor. Shayna Morris, first female Harding High School student to receive a scholarship for wrestling. And the most interesting person of 2018 will be revealed on the special on Friday, during the special, 5:10 to 6 p.m. and then replay 10:10 till 11 p.m. Now, also on Friday, from 6:10 to 8 p.m., we'll be replaying the Destination Heaven special, which we interview a lot of interesting people who give their thoughts on what happens when we are no longer here. We have a rabbi, we have an evangelical minister, we have a preacher, we have somebody who tried to commit suicide, we have a person who had a near-death experience, we have somebody who believes it's all in the brain, we have Bob Nelson, who took part in the first cryogenics, that's freezing somebody, experiment, and we have an atheist, all giving you their thoughts on what happens when we leave this planet. Destination Heaven, Friday, 6:10 until 8 p.m. It'll give you a real insight into life. It's a good special, 6:10 to 8 p.m. Then at 8 p.m., we have the Christmas Song Special. The performers of many of these Christmas songs will be on this special. We have Gayla Peavy, who originally sang I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. We've got Brenda Lee, who did Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And we have Dr. Elmo, who did Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And also on that special, 8 p.m. on Friday night, we've got Carolyn Grimes, who is Little Zuzu, the little girl in Jimmy Stewart's arms at the end of It's a Wonderful Life. So that's all coming up on Friday, starting at 5:10. Now, back to the questions. Does anybody know what the Pepsi Company used to do at Halloween time with their Pepsi products? What percentage of people think Christmas is a cultural holiday? What percentage of people still go out in Christmas carol in 2018? What is an old-fashioned term for a joke? It's a one-word term. Now, see, this is the one everybody's hung up on. What's an old-fashioned term for a joke? It's a one-word term. Now, knee slapper is the closest we've come, but knee slapper's two words, but it's a one-word term. What is it? What did Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to argue about during holiday time on The Tonight Show? Seems to me like somebody got this question, but nobody has called in to say they got it, so maybe they didn't. But it seems like somebody answered that one last week. Does anybody know what they used to argue about? What used to be in the building where Little Caesars is located in Marion now? Does anybody know that? What used to be in the building where Little Caesars is located now in Marion? All you people who like to bowl in Marion, in the 1980s, can anybody name all the bowling alleys that were in Marion in the 1980s? Can anybody name them all? What popular sandwich did rallies used to have for $1, and for all I know, they may still have it for a dollar, when they first opened? What popular sandwich did Rally's Restaurant sell for a dollar when they first opened? And I guess the final question today, what is the name of the helicopter that used to fly Santa Claus into the Southland Mall every year? Does anybody know the answers to any of those questions? 740-383-9944, 58 minutes past the hour. Still 2 minutes left in this broadcast today. And don't forget, you can still get your letters out to Santa Claus. Santa Claus, P.O. Box. Oh, look at you. Are you here for the... You're Jerry?
I'm here to make sure you read that free cookie. I don't want to accidentally forget not to come by.
No, don't free... All right, Jerry. Thank you.
He has the money now.
I have the money.
You got to get up to 100.
We got to get up to... We're 35 away. I think we'll get there. Jerry, thank you. All right. If you want to...
If you Facebook Live, though.
Oh, we'll get some pictures of it.
Facebook Live.
Thank you, Jerry. All right. Now, Jerry's paid his money. Now, $40 are in here. Now, we got $35 to go to get... $35 to go. Excuse me. Jerry has paid his money. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, so the restaurant, was that Smiley China?
It was Smiley China.
Oh, okay.
Now, do you remember Smiley China?
I never went there. I remember being there, but I never... Did you ever go there?
You know, it's funny. I was there one time, and I don't remember it, so it must not have impressed me much, but I do remember it being there. Are you eligible for a prize today?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am.
All right. What would you like?
Well, what do you have, Scott?
Well, we've got a pair of zoo tickets left here. We've got ice cream cones at McDonald's. We've got a zoo ticket. We've got apple slices at McDonald's. We've got milk jugs. We've got 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil change at Huntsman.
Are you all out of the coffee cup?
Oh, no. We do have a coffee cup left here.
I would like a coffee cup, please.
Okay, coffee cup. And what is your name?
Sarah Burgraff.
Oh, no. The fruitcake lady.
Well, that was my next question. So, are you going to eat the whole fruitcake?
Well, here's the deal. Now, Jerry Harris was just in. Now, he started this. Last Wednesday, he said, if I ate a whole fruitcake, he would pledge $20. And I thought, well, I'm not going to do it for $20. And then he called back in and said he would pledge $40. Now, he's just dropped off his money, $40. Then Ed Atkins came in and said he would do 20, and Bob Austin said he would do 5. So we're at 65. And Jerry just said if we get to 100, he'll throw in another 20. But I'm not going to eat the whole thing unless we get to 100, because it would take that much money to make me eat a fruitcake.
And is this going to be a Claxton?
Yes, I guess it'll be a Claxton. Horrible, nasty, soap-tasting fruitcake. Oh, I'll be sick till Christmas. I don't know if we'll get the $35 raised or not. I don't know.
Put me down for 10.
Okay. Oh, we're getting there. 25 yeah. away. Okay, Sarah. I got you down for 10.
Well, I'll come in and get my coffee cup, and I'll get the $10, and somebody's got to ante up this other 25, because I know how much you hate these fruitcakes.
Well, it might not happen. Wouldn't that be something if we got this close, $25, and I got to slide out without eating that fruitcake?
Oh, somebody will come through. They're just holding out.
Well, they only got 2 days.
So, you're going to eat the whole thing, though, and you don't even want to take the first bite.
I don't even want to see the thing, to be honest with you. I don't even like the sight of it. The sight of it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I dearly love them, as you well know. But I was eating one last year, and I bit into a walnut shell. So I hope that doesn't happen to you.
Well, I'm probably for sure that my gag reflex will be tested by eating these things. There's no, and a whole one. I just can't imagine. I mean, that's unthinkable to me.
Yeah, that's got to be bad for you. Like I said, you don't even want to take the first bite.
Well, we've got $25. It may not. $25 in 2 days. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Thank you, Sarah.
Talk to you later, Scott.
Bye-bye. Sarah's a lot of fun. What a great listener. Well, $25 remains. Jerry's been here. And now remember, if we get the other $25, Jerry will throw in another 20, and then I just can't even imagine eating a whole God. Even saying it makes me sick. Eat the whole fruitcake, but you only got 2 days now, folks. Oh, Wednesday, 2:00's the deadline. Okay, we're going to wrap it up today. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.